This is Evangelist George McTyre, the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with a message that was published back in August of 2005. This happens to be July the 1st, 2023. And this message is being put on audio, whereas before it was just in written form. And it has to do with a recent decision that was made by the U.S. Supreme Court on June the 30th concerning affirmative action. And I know a lot of people are all upset about it, and they are, want to protest and talking about the evil conservatives on the Supreme Court and how they overturning what's supposed to be good for the black community and so forth. And leading the way happens to be a lot of black preachers. Well, as I said, this article was written back in 2005, and I'm putting it on audio today. It's going to be more or less tacked. The audio part is going to be tacked on to this particular track. But basically what I want to do is, in all the considerations about all of the good and things that the so-called affirmative action has been doing, we all seem to be, or most of us seem to be, leaving out one thing, especially those that claim to be men of God. And that's what I want to title his message, as it was back then, and that is, what does God have to say about affirmative action? And our subject scriptures are going to be taken from the letter of James in the New Testament, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we find these words recorded. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man in gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, come sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? As I said, the subject title of this message is, what does God have to say about affirmative action? Now, if you search the Bible from Genesis through Revelations, you will not find the term affirmative action mentioned in it at all. However, just because the term is not mentioned does not mean that it isn't addressed. After all, if God knows everything on the past, present, and future, then surely he knew about affirmative action and would have laid some groundwork that addressed the issue somehow in the past, right? Well, If you look at the above subject verses, you may not see the reference if you don't have the spiritual eyes to see it. However, don't be upset, because you probably are in that position that you are in because you haven't been taught properly by those that have the charge over you to teach you about the spiritual things, and that essentially is your pastor or Bible teacher. You see, we have big problems today in the church because many of our leaders in the church, quite frankly, need to get out of the pulpits because they don't have the necessary tools to lead God's people. They, in fact, need someone to teach them. Jesus once said in Matthew chapter 15, in verse number 14, he says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." In St. John 15, chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." Now, this last passage also has a spiritually discerned implication that is also a common reality. That reality is no student can go any further than that which their teacher is. In other words, you are limited in ability or knowledge based on the limitations of your teacher. In other words, if your teacher has only a 7th or 8th grade education, then there's no way in the world, if you sit under that teacher, you're going to be able to get a 12th grade education. You got to get to somebody that's got a higher degree of education than that teacher. Well, the same thing goes true in the church. Now, in the church, this means the spiritual condition of the pastor or Bible teacher will be the gauge on how deep into the things of God the body or the congregation will go. If he is shallow, then the members will be shallow. On the other hand, if he is deep, then the body will also be deep, provided naturally that the body is listening to him. Now, the subject scriptures use the term respecter of persons. What this means, as subsequent verses to it indicate, that as a Christian representing Christ, we should not, and I repeat, should not be partial to or give any special treatment to anyone based on their wealth, appearance, or position. To do so means we are violating the principles that Christ established. Christ never regarded a person or gave special treatment to anyone based on their status or position or wealth. His treatment to all was back then and is today based on one thing, and that is their faith, or more particularly, their spiritual condition, or what we may call their character. Jesus once said that the people are able to see and understand natural things better than spiritual things, so he spoke to them about natural things so that they could understand spiritual things more or less known as parables. We have many people that have a good understanding of natural things and would say things should be that way when it comes to their own interests being lifted up. But when the shoe is on the other foot, then they have a problem. They don't want to see their error, but that is just what I am going to show you. First, what is affirmative action? Basically defined, it is a so-called law that for all intents and purposes gives special treatment to certain individuals based solely on their race or the color of their skin. The way it works is when it comes to hiring, accepting enrollees in a school, living in certain areas, or accepting people in certain groups like fraternities and such, qualifications such as education, IQ, physical abilities, or some other tests, certain groups are to be given special treatment based on nothing more than the color of their skin. The law says that they are to get preferential treatment. In the case of tests, whatever their score is, they are to get a certain number of points added to their score. And if that puts them ahead of someone who originally had a higher score than theirs, that they should be given, be accepted above that particular person. In other words, If you got a higher score than me, you're white and I'm black, and say my score was 80, yours was 90, well, affirmative action was going to grant me, say, 15 points to be added onto my score. Well, that put me up to 95, and now you at 90, so I'm getting accepted, you getting bypassed. That you can see that's not right. Anyway, it said if they aren't talking about the black person, if they can't get in because of some sort of refusal to grant them these extra points, then they can sue the employer, the institution, or the group. In other words, groups and things are being faced with lawsuits if they don't apply this law of affirmative action of adding points onto a person's, black person's score to see about them getting into, you know, this institution or whatever. Anyway, the reason for this law is supposed to be because of past discriminations and such that kept blacks from being as educated as whites. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, it advocates the very thing God says is wrong. Now let's look at the practical dangers of this thinking. Several years back, there was a case where a white student sued a medical school after it accepted a black man for student over him because, though the black man had a lower score than he did, because of this law, the black man was given a higher score in points and thereby accepted, while the white student was rejected because of class size limitations. This case was the first challenging this new law. The white man, his name was Bakke, B-A-K-K-E, unless that was some made-up name, whether it was his real name or not, but I think it was Bakke. Anyway, he sued on the grounds of reverse discrimination. Now, for a long time, blacks claimed whites discriminated against them, and this law, which they say was just, was somehow not discrimination. In other words, Bakke was really suing, basically saying the very thing that was keeping blacks out from being getting ahead now has been turned on him, and he used the term reverse discrimination because now he was being discriminated against, and he was suing about that, and black folks were saying, oh, well, that's not discrimination. And so what happened is they went to courts, and the courts ruled against this Bakke, B-A-K-K-E. So, we had a black man who was not quite smart enough to pass an entrance exam into a medical school, no less. He got in, and if I am not mistaken, he just barely made it through the school. In other words, he made it through and graduated. Anyway, several years ago, now, remember now, I'm talking back in 2005, so when I'm saying several years ago, I'm talking back like about in 2002 or 2003. This black man's medical license was revoked because of incompetence in the deaths of one or maybe two women. I think it was two women. And the maiming for life of a third because of his medical treatment of them. So in other words, a man that was not quite qualified to get into a medical school got in because of affirmative action, which black folks supported, but the result was that down the road, his license had to be revoked because of incompetence. Now, if you think about it, because of the deaths of these women and the maiming for life of a third woman, none of this would have happened if affirmative action had not been in place. Those women would still be alive, and that other third woman would be basically physically whole. But anyway, now any person with any sense would say that the most qualified should be put in positions where it is a critical position where lives and the well-being of individuals or the community may suffer if mistakes are made. Now that's common sense. And putting people with inferior abilities in these positions just to satisfy some stupid law is a disaster waiting to happen. Well, that's like I said, that's the way, that's what happened. Everybody was saying that was going to happen, but nobody was saying, well, no, it's not going to happen, and this, that, and other. No, it happened, and like I said, the people suffered for it. In fact, I'll tell you what. If you got a dictionary or an encyclopedia or read up on some news articles on the internet, look up the name Patrick Chavis, C-H-A-V-I-S. He's the black man who benefited from this affirmative action that we're talking about here, and find out about how his life and things went. And interestingly enough, he was, after a few years after that, he was murdered, supposedly in a failed robbery attempt or something like that. But some people were saying that what happened is one of the relatives or friends of one of these women that had been maimed by him or killed by him caught up with him and basically killed him because of what he did to their mother or their sister or their whatever relative. So, you know, that's something to think about. Now, anyway, God and Jesus Christ, if God and Jesus Christ can see that, and they want us to see that as well, so they put examples of it in the Bible. But those that should be guiding you through this area, especially given its importance to the black community, aren't doing it. Why? They don't want to seem to be going against what the black community wants. But now think about this. Martin Luther King addressed this issue when he stated, "Men should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." In other words, Martin Luther King was basically saying the same thing that God was saying, that when you start using judging people by the color of their skin, that's not the way it should be. If we're going to be in harmony and things like that, it should be, you should be judged by your character and not by the color of your skin. Well, affirmative action does exactly that, judges people by the color of their skin. Now, as I said, this was a reference to racial discrimination on either side. But the black community, who embraces everything they say that Martin stood for and espoused, completely ignore this part of his message. In other words, they embrace all of the things that Dr. King said, except when it comes down to this part. Then all of a sudden, they just throw that out the window. And yet, and still, you want to celebrate him as being the greatest black man in, you know, in our times or something like that. But when he says something that goes against what black folks think they want to have, then all of a sudden they don't want to hear that part of his message. Now think about this. There are a lot of preachers that marched with him and supported him today that are going totally against what he said. These preachers are a disgrace to Martin for what Martin stood for, let alone to the position that they hold in the church as pastors, seeing what God has had to say about this issue. In other words, they not only ignoring what Martin said, but worse off, they are even ignoring what God has to say. And these are pastors in the church. Look at it like this. Affirmative action is a type of revenge against a group of people for what has been happening to the black community in the past. Now, remember, God says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 19, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So what we have is black preachers supporting an action that God has reserved for himself. Besides that, affirmative action punishes, for the most part, people that had nothing to do with the problem. So we have God's people, or at least those that claim to be, supporting actions that target innocent people. Plus, there is another irony to this issue. Some of the ones that get punished are other Christian brothers and sisters. That's right. Affirmative action makes no distinction between guilt or innocence, Christian or non-Christian. Therefore, affirmative action, in effect, pits black Christians against white Christians. And that gives the black Christian favor over the white. Whereas God is no respecter of persons and only favors those that deserve it according to their obedience to him. Now, why does God reserve vengeance to himself? Because he is the only one who knows just who is guilty when there is no direct evidence to implicate them. In our court system, people are innocent until proven guilty. Try to make a person guilty without evidence, and you have no justice. Well, affirmative action accomplishes the same thing. It makes people guilty with no evidence whatsoever other than the fact of the color of their skin. There is no justice in it, and therefore, unjust actions will be dealt with, if not by man, then definitely by God, and in some instances by both. So in some ways, you can see why the black community, despite affirmative action, is still languishing at the bottom of the educational and economic ladders. In fact, other groups are advancing above us using the laws that were designed for us. See, that's one of the ways God gets his revenge on people. He turns around and causes the laws that we make, causing our to help us get ahead, turn around and help other people get ahead. I read an article the other day. I'm talking about back here a couple of weeks ago. No, it was last. It might have been early. This is July the 1st. I think it was earlier this week, 2023. Where shortly after, yeah, because it had to be that, because the comment came right after the Supreme Court decision knocking down affirmative action. Do you know that the major benefactors of affirmative action was not the black community, but white women, followed by black women? And so, in other words, the thing that we had put in place to help us is actually helping other people to get ahead of us. And the black man, he's left still eating dust and things, and still having to look and see everybody else getting ahead of him while he's still remaining down there at the bottom of the barrel, having a fighting struggle to get along. But that's God's judgment. This is God's justice and judgment on us. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The black community is reaping what it has been sowing over these past decades and will continue to do so until it realizes its mistakes or is destroyed by it. And leading the way are preachers who, when the problems arise, will quickly blame guess who? The Republicans or George Bush, or since it's in 2023, Donald Trump, or the religious right, or white supremacy, anything, rather than facing the fact that their own stupidity is causing their problems. Anyway, they are quick to put the blame on everybody so that no one will take the time to stop and think about what is going on. See, if I can jump up and put the blame, black leadership can jump up and put the blame on somebody real quick, then we will turn at those individuals without stopping and thinking, now wait a minute, something ain't right here with our people. Maybe it's our leadership that's the problem. No, they can't have that. Now, the reason why is that these preachers are trying to remain popular in their communities while at the same time falling out of popularity with God. They don't care about anything but popularity and money that they get from their unsuspecting supporters. It's all about power, popularity, and money that these preachers are looking at. And they would rather have that than to be in God's good graces. Therefore, if they're not in God's good graces, then guess what? Those that sit under them are going to be left in the same position as they are, because remember now, the servant can't be no greater than his master or his lord. The black community needs to wake up and get away from this lunacy of trying to get even with people who, as I said earlier, for the most part, had nothing to do whatsoever with the plight of the black community. For this blind push to get ahead at the cost of stepping on others will only result in God having to put a stop to it. And believe me, you don't want him involving himself directly in stopping something that you are trying to do. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre. This is the end of the message, and I hope you got something from that. And don't be all upset about what's happening with affirmative action, especially if you happen to be a Christian. Now, the ungodly, they out there, they going to be upset anyway, especially if I'm saying that God says that, because they don't even care about God in the first place. But as a Christian, you claim that you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and all that other stuff, and you are upset about affirmative action and saying it's wrong, and you angry at the Supreme Court, well, then you angry at God, because, like I said, that's the Supreme Court basically is doing or addressing this issue from the standpoint of what God has to say. And you need to take that to heart. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out as usual, saying, may God bless you and your families real good as you go on in the Lord. And think about what I said. Good day.